tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yeah. We're back with the quickness. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Join me as always, XG in the place to be. I want to thank Blue Chew for supporting Tinfoil Hat. Visit bluechew.com and get your free shipment free when you use the promo code TINFOIL. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code TINFOIL. Okay, how are you, XG?
I'm good, good.
Do you have any shows coming up?
I do, actually.
What show?
At the Irvine Improv, May 15th.
May 15th?
Yeah, May 15th,
Who are you with?
George Perez, Sidek Eddie, and Edwin San Juan.
Oh, that's a good group.
Yeah, it's a good little group, yeah.
I love Edwin San Juan.
Yeah, he's funny as fuck.
He's a good dude.
Yeah,
that's good crew.
Yeah, I'm excited.
How do you do in those how do you do in those groups?
Good. Mexicans. I do good.
Yeah,
a bunch of Mexicans, they like me.
Yeah, dude.
I got
this
no problem
kid's
with
the
them.
Golden one. The golden child. The golden child. I have dates coming up. I just don't remember where they are. I got a bunch of things coming up. We got Dallas is happening. I think San Francisco's happening. Chicago's gonna happen again. I found out some information last night about Huntsville, Alabama, and why nobody showed up to our show. It is the center of the New World Order. So that's an interesting thing. So what do I got here?
That's it. You ain't got shit.
I ain't got shit.
It's Skankfest. That's it.
Yeah.
That's not even up there.
When is Skankfest? That is
June 21st to 23rd.
Yeah. All right, man. We're there, dude. So we're going to be out there Skankfest. A lot of amazing things are going on. We want to say thank you to our good friends at BetDSI. BetDSI for all your bet needs. Go to BetDSI. Use the promo code HAT100, okay? And if you use that, they will double your investment. That is the bonus. Now, if you do not want, if you want to place a bet and get your money right out, don't enroll into the bonus. If you want to get the bonus, you have to go bet a little more. So that's the whole thing. But we've been working with them for a while. Go bet the aside, all the NBA playoff games. All baseball's heating up. UFC's going great. Boxing is on fire. All that stuff. And we are still, I had a conversation with them, working on the conspiracy part of the website. You're going to be able to bet on conspiracies, which should be a good time. Have I forgot anything?
No, we're good. Oh, shirts. Don't forget about
the
shirts.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's it.
Shirts everywhere, shirts. A lot of you guys, hi, where can I get that shirt? Where can I get that shirt? Go to tinfoilhattshirts.com and you can grab the shirts. Tinfoilhatpodcast.com is up and ready. The latest podcast, our tour dates, everything's there. But if you want to just go for the t-shirts, grab those. We're trying to put out one a month, a new one for you. Look at that stud. Look at that stud. Look at those gorilla arms. Jesus Christ, what am I, a monkey?
You look like an ex-Raider fan right there.
Well, yeah, I am. I'm an ex-Raider fan. I am a Raider fan for life. Joining us in studio, a good friend of mine. He helps with the show. He's a booker on the show, and he's a Bitcoin enthusiast, and he wants to talk about the cops today. Please welcome Corey Hughes, everybody.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
Corey, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man.
What do you got to turn your thing up? I'm not yelling. You're right across, man. Not yelling loud enough?
I don't like hearing myself either.
Corey, tell us about your Bitcoin website. I mean, your Bitcoin podcast network.
All right. I run a Bitcoin podcast network called Private Key Publishing. You can find me on Twitter at Bitcoin Podcasts, and I work with guys like Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Max Kaiser, some of the biggest names in the Bitcoin space. And that's just one of the many gigs that I got my hands in these days.
You're a hustler, you're a provider, you're a good man, dude. I appreciate you came on tour with us. You got to be on the Tinfoil Hat tour through Arizona. Did you enjoy that?
That was great. And it was only a couple days because I don't think I could have stayed on the week For a week on the road with you guys.
Why?
Freaking crazy.
Why? Well, I mean, besides XG not knowing how to use fucking Waze, besides that?
And go around in circles on
can't
the highway.
That was horrible, the hotel situation. Hey, but you can't be mad about Eddie dropping knowledge the whole fucking way from...
Well, you guys didn't agree on a lot of shit.
Well, the Earth's not flat. Like, I don't think I need to say anything else. I love Eddie to death. But there is not
that. I believe that I'm starting to think that maybe if, let's say you believe in assimilation, right? What if this is just a holodeck? What if this just like you know when on Star Trek Enterprise, when they want a little break, they go on the holodeck and they just walk? What if they were just in a holodeck?
That's not as far-fetched as you might think. I can envision a couple realities that would
and
work.
Everything can play into that. Anunnaki, everything makes sense. If let's say some AI from the future created us to see what happened, right?
Right. Plus, we have the Higgs field, right, which gives particles mass. And I have this theory that consciousness is a field, and we all interact with this field. And so that would just be another level of like the hologram, simulation.
I'm starting to think about that, man. I mean, like, I think there's stuff that, like, in pop culture, they give us all this kind of like clues that maybe look into it. Is it possible we live inside a hologram? I think so, dude. Look,
that picture looks pretty dope.
Yeah, dude. That's a great computer. Wow, you're very impressed with computer graphics. So you were nice enough, Corey, to come in town to do an episode, and you wanted to talk about just basically the problem with police and problem with the corruption and how it's systematic. Right. Now, full disclosure, my grandfather and my cousin are cops. I think cops have a purpose. I think there's a lot of really good cops. I think that just like everywhere, there's some bad apples. I think there's places where we don't have cops and their lawlessness. And then you could just leave it up to whoever has more money and more arms that basically runs everything. So I think there's... I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. I don't want to demonize a whole group of people, but I do agree with you that it is systematic.
I will demonize the whole group of people. The entire system is fundamentally broken and corrupt. And just to give you a little of my background, I was a cop for almost 9 years. All my degrees are in law enforcement, criminal justice, public administration, crime scene technology. I was a crime scene guy. The entire system is broken. And I can go into a million different reasons why, and we'll cover some of those today. But one of the first things you have to realize is that 50 to 70% of all police activity revolves around the drug war. And the drug war is the biggest crock of shit that the planet's ever
100%.
Seen. 100%. Even if you don't buy the fact that the United States government supplies the drugs, the CIA controls the global flow of narcotics.
We agree on that.
Even if you want to put that stuff aside, if someone has a drug problem, that's a mental health issue. It's not an issue that needs to be criminalized. You know, people need help. They don't need to be sitting in a jail cell making money for a bunch of rich assholes. And that's pretty much all it does. So 50 to 70% of everything that police do, whether it's pulling you over trying to get into your car or dealing with robberies or violence or arresting people for the drugs themselves, that is a massive chunk of daily police activity. At least where I worked. I worked in Florida in Trailer Park City. It was pretty rough. It was the largest producer of prescriptions for prescription drugs in the country. Like all the pill mills were coming out of where I worked. And so I would have to say that probably one out of three calls I went to was, if not drugs or alcohol related, you know?
Vices. Basically the demonization. And it's very interesting how people think if something's legal, it's okay. And something's not legal, it's bad.
Right, that's a complete,
you know, there's things that were legal that were bad, like separate entrances.
Yeah, slavery. You
know, slavery. I mean, there's things that just because something's legal doesn't mean it's right.
Correct. And so when people want to go into law enforcement, they have this idealistic kind of notion of what law enforcement is, and they're just wrong. Once you actually get your foot in the door in law enforcement, like for me, I didn't have enough college credits. So I spent like 3 years going back to school before I even had enough college credits to apply, right? And then from the time I applied till the time I actually got hired was like another year or two. So really I spent like 10, 11 years in the mindset, in that culture, going through this period of self-indoctrination, you know? So basically, it was 3 years before I even got the job. And then once you get the job, you become so engaged with it that it really just consumes everything. Like, that's one of the problems with law enforcement is that it becomes so self-consuming that, like, your personal email will have, like, your badge number in it. You know what I mean? Every single thing you do will be law enforcement related. And your old life kind of falls away. There are certain friends who you just kind of drift away from, not because they're bad people, but because they're not cops.
Right.
And over a period of time, your entire life, your identity itself is completely dependent upon that profession, right? And so then when you see people who get in trouble or have problems and they're thinking about leaving, sometimes it's easier for them to kill themselves than leave the culture. It's like being kicked out of the nest. You know what I mean?
So 100%. I want to get into all that. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to our good friends at Blue Chew. That's right. If you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers a performance enhancement for the bedroom. When you like to last stronger and go extra rounds, BlueChew.com makes the first chewables with the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work up to twice as fast as pills. Blue Chew can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Blue Chew is cheaper than those two others, like Viagra and Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to fill out the form online. No doctor visits, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. Blue Chew chewables are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. Blue Chew gives you confidence in the bed and your partner will love it. Okay. Visit BlueChew.com. Get the first shipment free when you use the promo code TINFOIL. Just pay $5 shipping. Okay. The BlueChew.com promo code TINFOIL. Chew it and love it. I love boner pills. And I love it. I'm going to talk to them about working with Plan B so you get boner pills and Plan B. I wanted to do a whole tour. Whole tour sponsored by Plan B, you know? That's how I want to rock. Why not make it one-stop shop? Get a boner and then don't have kids.
You know you can't buy one, though, as a male?
You can buy. Can I buy?
No, you can't buy a Plan B.
You cannot buy Plan B.
You can low-key, like, drop it in your girl's drink or something.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? If you want to know who runs society, just know that men can't buy Plan B.
Nope.
There we go.
That's her responsibility.
That's crazy. So let's start from the beginning, dude. Let's start from the beginning here. Where does this all start, man? What's the history of...
It all starts right there. Go back to that. That right there is the law enforcement code of ethics. Now, when I was in the police academy, I had to recite this every day from memory at the start of every day. So for 6 freaking months, I had to say this. We all said it as a group out loud. And if you read it, it actually reads pretty good. If cops actually stuck to this and actually gave a shit about the oath they took, everything would probably be okay. They wouldn't go around murdering people. You know, they wouldn't be victimizing black people or Hispanics or minorities because they can't afford a good lawyer, which is exactly where the police kind of racism comes from. If they actually stuck by this code of ethics, things might actually be okay in this country, but they don't. When you read through this, it's almost like a big freaking joke because they don't stick to any of this. When was the last time you talked to a cop and he spoke to you with respect like you were a human being? Probably didn't happen much because you're nothing but a number to him. You know, you're just the next guy he needs to give a ticket to so he can get a pat on the back from his boss so he can get the promotion. And that's all it really is, this kind of endless cycle of trying to climb a ladder that you have very little control over. And the very little control part, we'll get to that a little later on, but that the lack of control within one's own career has some major, major detrimental effects.
So what is in this code of ethics?
Basically, the code of ethics... I'll take a second. I'll read some highlights from it. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice. It's hard to keep a straight face when I read this because anytime a cop raises his voice to you, he just violated that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I want to get into this. What's the history of the police working. Like the police, here's the thing. My mom would kill me if she heard this story, and I've told it before, about when my grandfather died. He was like pretty high up in the Niagara Falls Police Department. And my dad at his memorial pulled me aside and goes, "I want you to look at this." He goes, "This side of the memorial is all the Niagara Falls Police Department. This side is all the Niagara Falls Mafia." My grandfather was working with, I'm like, dude, you know what, man? I mean, like, I love my grandpa. He was just as shady as I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a shady fuck. I come from a tree of shady fucks. My mom's married my dad. He's the shadiest of all the fucks. Okay. So there's a history of corruption from the start.
Oh yeah. And not to mention that the modern format of policing kind of grew out of the slave patrols in the early 1900s, you know? And then when you actually study the hierarchy of how this country works, you'll find that organized crime like the mafia, which people kind of laugh and joke about, like that was a real, real thing for a very long time from the late 1800s. Really, I think most of the drugs still get funneled through the mafia. I mean, the CIA needs somebody to sell their stuff for them. So,
and that's a big part. We've talked about this on past podcasts.
Right.
The biggest problem with the drug war is that the people who have made the drugs illegal are the ones who are shipping them in.
100%. Absolutely. And so you have this hierarchy. If you have like the CIA would go to the mob, sell the drugs, and that would be plausible deniability, right? And then you had the police who would cover for the mob. You know what I mean? So you had this system of drugs, or not just drugs. Also, you had human trafficking. You had prostitution. You had gun running. You had all that stuff that was all from the top down. And historically, police have always covered for the mob, right? It's the next tier that they're covering for.
Well, because there's a lot of money in that. And like, if you're dealing with the drug, you're dealing with the CIA. The CIA cannot go on the corner and sell it, okay?
Correct.
So they have to work with organized crime.
Right.
And there's so much money in it that it's easy to bribe the police too, because the cops are getting paid a government salary.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the last couple of months I've been spending so much time on this Kennedy assassination thing, working with Ryan Dawson. I'm trying to get his movie made. But I've learned so much about the how deep the corruption actually went. You know, I mean, because you had cops in on it. You had the mafia in on it. You had the CIA in on it. You had all these intelligence agencies in on it. You had military intelligence. Like, these are the people who are supposed to be running our country, and they murder our own president. But not much has really changed. You know, look at
it's gotten worse.
Look at Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Her dad was Lou Wasserman, mob lawyer, MPA president for how many years? That guy was as corrupt as they come.
And dude, look at the Hillary Clinton. Her father basically, after Al Capone got taken out, ran the Chicago mob.
Yeah.
I mean, and look at what those women do. They whack people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people has Clinton's whacked? How many people have talked about Debbie Wasserman Schultz? She's whacking people left and right.
Yep, she's straight up mob. I mean, like, she is obviously at some level protected by the mob because her dad was the mob lawyer. Like, if you were in the mob and you needed a lawyer, you went to Lou Wasserman. That's how it went.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
And then, oh, this is where it gets a little crazy, and this is going to go a little off subject, but he took over the head of the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association, right? And when he left, he was also CIA, because these guys can be mob, CIA, FBI. Like, that's how corrupt this thing is. They're all overlapping. After he left, he was replaced by Jack Valenti in 1966. And Jack Valenti, he was the man in Hollywood for 40 years. He controlled Hollywood for 40 years. It was his company that released the motorcade route for JFK. He was blackmailing LBJ. He had homosexual photographs of him. I mean, that's kind of how they blackmail is kind of a thing. And then when the FBI was finally catching up to him and realizing in his background checks that he had associations with, you know, in the day, Lucky Luciano, and he had connections to Chicago mob and connections to Cervello in Houston and Dallas, he's like, okay, I'm out of here. And he went and he took over the MPA for 40 years. So you had a guy who was working for the mob and the CIA get replaced by another guy who was working for the mob and the CIA and was blackmailing our president and was a Kennedy assassination conspirator. And then he took over Hollywood for 40 years and pumped out 40 years worth of propaganda. So that was just this little side story of
I mean, dude, we see it happening today. I mean, like, the war criminals of, you know, Bush and Cheney's years are now, or Reagan and Bush's years are now the war criminals of Trump's years.
Oh, yeah, and they're not even trying to hide it, bringing guys like Abrams back and what's the guy with the douchebag with the mustache?
Oh, Bolton?
Bolton.
Yeah. Not Michael Bolton.
Fuck
He's
that
a great
guy.
Singer. John Bolton, right?
All right, so let's move on to this.
Explain to our listeners, not people watching, what we're looking at.
Okay, we are looking at the use of force matrix,
right.
Or some people call it the use of force continuum. Now, basically, there is a standard that police are supposed to stick by. If I'm just hanging out with you here, I can't pull out a gun and shoot you, right? I have to have a certain level threat that I have to be able to respond to. And this basic chart, for those listening on the audio, look this up. It's the use of force matrix. Basically, this outlines what the subject's actions are and what the officer is allowed to do, right? So if we're just standing here, I can't do anything. But if I'm going to put handcuffs on you and you like pull away from me, that would be like the next level up of resistance and I might be able to thump you, right? So
right.
If you're trying to actively physically fight me,
yeah.
I'm allowed to go a step above that and
yeah.
use my taser or secondary
yeah.
weapons or whatever.
Yeah.
And if, like we've seen in all these shootings, they try to justify all these murders that they've been committing by saying that the actions of the subject have been... The actions of the subject have been assaultive or would cause serious bodily harm or death, or he's trying to kill you. Of course, any reasonable person can look at some of these videos that have been coming out
oh,
and tell
yeah.
that they're just bullshitting all day long,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like the guy killed himself when he was – like what they say about one woman that she killed, grabbed the gun and shot herself
– while she was in handcuffs.
Handcuffed behind her arms.
Yes.
Behind her back.
And I'm sure that guy had no discipline whatsoever. I mean, they just bought his story. And part of the reason why they buy stories like that is because of something that, like, you're not going to see this any termed anywhere. I kind of termed this myself. I call it creative articulation.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, I could sit here right now, jump over this table, choke the life out of you, and then I know how to write a police report that would basically justify everything I did, you know? And police like to use words that really have no meaning, like, he made furtive movements, or he came at me in a suspicious, aggressive
right,
manner. Like,
right.
what do these fucking words
right.
mean? They're vague. They mean nothing. But then the sergeants go, okay, no problem, and they just sign it off. And then it goes up to the state attorneys or the district attorneys, and the district attorneys just sign off on all these murders because the next day they need these cops to keep bringing them cases for them to prosecute.
Yes.
Right? So it's just a big fix. Everyone's they're out there murdering people, violating their oath, violating this use of force matrix, which anybody can go and look up. And for a guy like me, it's really frustrating because after I left, I remember the first case that really got me into being very aggressively anti-cop was that I was seeing through the bullshit, and I was seeing bullshit that I had pulled. I was like, oh my God. Like the first one was the Ferguson case. And like I saw these guys on just trying to fluff what happened at Ferguson, and I saw through all that
Explain
bullshit.
Explain what happened at Ferguson.
Ferguson, you had Michael Brown. Michael Brown basically, he was walking down the street with his buddy. Supposedly he was involved in some sort of robbery, which really wasn't a robbery. I'm not going to go into that, but he did not rob a store. But the cop came up out of nowhere in his car, commanded them get off the road. Next thing you know, he takes off running and he gets shot. Basically, he was shot in the back. He was shot 3 or 4 times. They couldn't prove that he had his back turned. But I read enough about the story. I listened to the statements. I pulled some of the reports. And basically, it was a straight up murder. And what it comes down to is cops don't really give a shit about the Constitution. They don't give a shit about you and your safety, public safety, the law, any of that stuff. What they care about is having a position of power and dominance that they say, hey, you know, you're going to do what I say and you're going to do it now. You're going to do it the first time because I don't have the patience and I don't want to deal with you to ask you a second time. So the first time, you better listen to what I say because the second time, I'm just going to fuck you up.
Okay.
And I know because I did it. I mean, I would straight up.
It is a dangerous job, though.
Well, here's the thing. That's another thing. Is it dangerous? Sure.
I mean, it's dangerous.
If you put it on the list of, you know, dangerous jobs, it's about 20th in the freaking list. I mean, electricians and like, you know, guys who mow the lawn are listed as higher than police work. And
hold on, guys who mow the lawn is more dangerous.
Your fingers chopped off.
Well, maybe in Vegas where it's 1,000 degrees.
No.
But there is something. What?
I got Mexican friends without fingers. Hey, that lawnmower will do some work on those fingers.
Right, huh? right. But the lawnmower isn't going to suddenly, you know, you don't know if you get on the wrong lawnmower, it's going to fucking cut your finger off. Like
right.
With cops, you don't know who you're pulling over. And I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there really has to be a look at what the job entails.
Right, but here's the thing. When you're brand new on the road, you have this feeling like you're part of a team. You're one of them because you've got all the guys helping you out. You've got sergeants and all the command staff helping you out. But over a period of a couple of years, let's say 5 years, because really you're a rookie for 5 years. So basically over that period of 5 years, the more experienced you become on the road, handling situations on the road become second nature. You know, there was no situation you could have put me in that I would have freaked out about. There was no, oh my God, I'm scared. There was none of that. It was just, oh shit, a man with a gun. All right, let's go do it. You know, so it becomes second nature doing the job. Where the stresses come from is administrative stress, right? Your lack of control over your own career. You would have more problems after you get past like the, you know, the honeymoon phase. You realize, hey, my bosses really don't, they're not really there to help me or support me. They have a quota to write people up, just like I got a quota to write tickets. You know what I mean? Right. So it gets kicked down the line like that. So by the
end of your tickets, for sure. If you live in LA long enough, you realize that basically, you know, speed traffic tickets are just a backdoor tax.
They absolutely are. And, tickets to me are a great example of how being a police officer is dehumanizing. Not only can you go around shooting people, doing use of force, extorting people for money, the only way that you can ever do that and look yourself in the mirror is if you dehumanize the people that you're doing that to, right?
Right.
So it kind of starts off with, you know, it's us against them. And that's from day one, like police, and then there's everybody else. And you're kind of taught that you are the elite. And that you're there to, you know, you're there to protect society and blah, 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 blah. But then who is society? Like, to me, the idea that there's good guys and bad guys is the biggest myth of all time. Like, there's,
yeah, that's all some psychological shit. Nobody thinks they're a bad guy. And then when you find out the bad guys are working with the good guys, what does that make the good guys?
Exactly. And then there are some really good documentaries that have been made about guys who went undercover, like deep undercover, and then they realized these people, they're not bad guys. They're just trying to get by, and this is what they're forced to do because of their current social economic status.
The black market was simply created so that the CIA could make more money. You outlaw something, thus making it more valuable. And, you know, like, do you think liquor stores made more now? Or when it was illegal and, you know, they could charge more for a drink and all that shit. It was, you know, they had to legalize liquor because it was getting so violent. You know, I don't know why we don't do that with drugs. I do not know why we don't legalize drugs or at least decriminalize it so people don't go to jail.
Because it's violent in Mexico, not here. It's just dangerous here.
With alcohol.
But there's no cartels like in... like where they're actually decapitating people like
there was back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day with alcohol, and that's when they did it. But since it's not happening here, they're like,
oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
They're like, okay.
With prohibition, there was a lot of the social pressure to have alcohol be legal was overwhelming. It's not quite there with drugs. You know what I mean? Like weed, it's getting there. But still, you can get locked up in like half the states still for having weed on you, which to me is just...
It's ridiculous.
It should be criminal. I mean, if you lock somebody up for weed, you're the one that should go to fucking jail.
Obvious what's going on too. It's just like you're just doing the work of these corporations because they know that you can grow your own weed.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of difficult because after I left police work, I went and became a commercial grower in Colorado for over 2 years. So I kind of did the big flip right there.
Oh, you're probably bad at it. You're probably bad at it, right?
Let's go over some statistics real quick. So in 2017, they say 1,147 people were killed by police. In 2018, 1,166. These numbers are grossly underreported. And the reason they're underreported is if I shoot you and you don't die for 6 months, you're not included in the statistics.
Right.
On average, about 150 people, unarmed people per year, are murdered by police. And in 2018, there were only 23 days where a cop didn't kill somebody. On average, cops kill a person in America every 7 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's about 3 a day. It comes out to about 12 to 1300, which, like I said, is still, in my opinion, grossly underreported. And most killings, this is a good one, most killings begin with police responding to suspected nonviolent offenses or cases where no crime was reported.
Yeah.
So, like, you show up to somebody, they're sitting in their car, and next thing you know, you're fucking shooting them because you're a pussy. That's what it comes down to. You have some sort of weird psychological need to show your dominance. And when that person bucks your dominance, your need to feel dominant because you've pretty much been a loser your whole fucking life. And I don't say that lightly.
Well, I'll say that about airport security for sure. I mean, those guys were all those guys C-plus students who suddenly have these. And I listen, I was a C-plus student. So, I mean, but they were giving humongous power. And you just, and they know they can't get fired. So they just like, they just don't give a fuck. And they actually like causing you a little chaos in your life.
Yes. And, you know, another thing to think about is that cops, even the ones who they say they're good cops, like the whole system's broken. You know what I mean? Right. To me, it's like saying, yeah, there were some good Nazis. I mean, to me, it just doesn't jive because you can't be a good cop in a completely broken and corrupt system, right? And if you're in a system where 50 to 70% of your activity is locking people up for things that shouldn't be an offense in the first place,
right?
And that are, so, like we said, supplied by our own government, then you're just a puppet in some bigger game that you don't even understand.
Well, it's definitely the question whether it should be against the law is another thing. They are dude, I'm with you, dude. I mean, you got to create laws so people can violate them, so you can arrest them and throw them in jail.
Right. They need that prison industrial complex to just keep churning. I mean, we lock up in the U.S. 25% of the world's prisoners. We lock up more people than like Russia, China, and all these third world countries that we say are bad countries. We lock up more people than they do. It's disgusting. And we only have 5% of the population.
So let me ask you something.
Sure.
How do they get these crazy cops? Like, I actually think that if you fail a psychological exam, they like you. That, you know, it's like they actually want the crazy people out there instead of the well-adjusted and who wouldn't think, because they need them to be a little bit, you got to be like a little crazy want to become a cop. And the more crazy you are, the more that helps them with the, you know, kicking in doors and blazing 4-4s and cracking skulls on people.
From my experience, like the average cop, at least most of the ones I knew, and I worked for two different agencies. I worked for an agency of about 150, and then I switched to an agency of over 3,000. So I've gotten to see like both sides, the big and the small. And across the board, the guys who are getting hired are pretty much they genuinely didn't smoke weed more than like two or three times in their life. You know, probably didn't get laid till they were in their fucking 20s.
Those are like the questions they ask you? Like those are just, you know how they talk about those questions they ask you? Just, did you smoke weed? Did you sell weed? Just,
yep, you got to outline all that stuff. Of course, I lied my ass off. I spent 2 years learning how to beat the lie detector. That was a blast. So, but the whole thing is it's a big scam. It really is. And the guys who go in, for the most part, are genuinely like goody two-shoes. And they kind of develop into this personality.
So they get corrupted, like brainwashed type of shit.
Yeah, it's a self-indoctrination, right? Because you want to be in there. You want to be in there. So even like, dude, I toured with Phish for like 10 years before I became a cop. You know what I mean? Like I smoked.
Dude, how many lives have you lived?
A lot. I've lived a lot of lives.
You went on tour with Phish. You were growing weed.
He's a cop.
You're a cop. BitChute guy. I mean, Bitcoin.
Lives in Vegas now.
I'm kind of OCD, obsessive compulsive ADD. I got to have 10 things going on or I freak out like I'm a loser or something, which the two aren't mutually exclusive. but yeah, so the average cop is just a normal person who doesn't know what to do with themselves. It looks cool. They watch too many episodes of NYPD Blue. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I might as well. I found that the coolest guys, the guys who were so down to earth and level-headed, were the guys who were actually veterans, who actually had been to Iraq or Afghanistan. Because they come back, and you put them here, and they're like, this ain't shit.
Yeah.
I've been shot at.
Well, you used to have to be military to get in, to become a cop.
I almost don't think that's a bad idea, man, but there's not enough people who want to do the job. Like, I would say you could fix all these police problems by making everybody have a bachelor's degree, but guess what? You'd have nobody hired. Like, the agency I first worked for had a policy before I got hired there that you had to have a bachelor's degree. That lasted like 6 months, and they couldn't get a single person.
Oh, dude. I mean, they can't get anybody to join the military now. Look at their bribing people.
I don't think having a military cop would be good. Wouldn't they have PTSD? It might react on instinct on something
that
was nothing.
Well, my personal experience is that the guys had seen real shit over there, and they come back here, and you put them in the worst neighborhood, and it's still like, this is nothing compared to what I've already seen. You know what I mean? So from my experience, they were the chillest guys of all, and they weren't the ones out jacking people up. The guys who are out jacking people up are seeming like the guys who have something to prove to themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they have to maintain that level of dominance.
That's how I feel about mall cops.
Yes, it's the same thing, but on a different scale.
Yeah, just under, you know? But it's like the same thing though, right?
Because really, ultimately, at the end of the day, the cops feelings of self-worth and self-respect 100% tied to the job. Without that job, that person has no identity anymore. And I fell into that trap too, which was kind of crazy because I did so much stuff that wasn't cop-like before I was a cop. And one day I just made up my mind, I got to do it, you know, so let me do it.
Okay, what do we get? Okay.
What were we talking about?
I was waiting for you to go. So what we're seeing right now is a move into militarizing police. Mm-hmm. What is your thoughts on that? I mean, people really, it's a very interesting thing that happens in this country where one moment we think one thing, and by the following year, we're thinking the exact opposite, right? Because let's remember 2016, we're only 2 years, 3 years out of that. We had an epidemic of cops shooting unarmed black men, okay? Then we had the North Dakota Indians protesting the pipeline and militarized police going in and cracking skulls of these Native American peaceful protesters. Where's the militarization of police and the cop force coming from?
Okay, so that comes from the MIC, the military industrial complex, because basically what they did was they went around to, and I don't remember what year this started. It started before I got in, and I got in 05. They basically went around to police departments and sold them surplus Humvees and surplus weapons and AR-15s and all the military shit. They sold them surplus. But in my opinion, they kind of pushed it. I mean, they would come to an agency and be like, we'll give you this. It's a brand new Hummer, 2 years old. $1,500. Like, literally, yeah. It would be pennies.
Yeah.
And so, who's going to say no to that, right?
Right.
And then all the guys who are on SWAT and stuff, now they feel like, oh, now I can go kick in doors better and stuff, right?
Right,
so it's kind of like this perpetual, they offered, and hey, we're going to take, you know what I mean? That was kind of like what
we've seen it get really bad with that, man. We've seen, like, John Oliver, who I think has lost all credibility on his show, but once in a while, he kind of hits it, and he did a whole story on that. Boy, they're just giving you this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're giving you military power without the military training.
Correct. The training that goes on, really most of the vast majority of training for SWAT guys is building clearing. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, you know, they kick in that door. We got 10 guys filing the room. What do we do? How do we do that? We come across people. Do we shoot them? Do we not shoot them? Like, all that kind of stuff. But it's really just the same training over and over and over again. There's no de-escalation training. There is no training that's, hey, this is starting to get out of hand. Instead of me, you know, clobbering this guy, let me talk him down and we'll just have a conversation, right? And let me take a half hour with this person. No, because you can slam the guy, throw him in your car, and be done in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? So there's that aspect also.
Yes. Let's get into the psychological effects of police work.
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting, and this is where most people have no clue, including cops who are going through it themselves. So there's a concept called the hypervigilance emotional roller coaster, and it was kind of coined by a guy named Dr. Kevin Gilmartin, who wrote a book called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. I can tell you, hands down, it's the most important book I've ever read. As I was getting towards the end of my career, I was an emotional fucking wreck. I was a monster. I was devastated.
Were you roiding, dog?
Yes.
Of course.
No. I wasn't.
Come on, shredded hard nipples, right?
No. I was definitely not. But I had some issues going on. My girlfriend was an alcoholic, and she got me in trouble at work. And like, so I had like, it was just, my life was a total clusterfuck.
Is this before Insane Clown Posse or after Insane Clown Posse?
Dude, Insane Clown Posse. Listening to them will save anybody.
I want to do a whole episode on why you like the Insane.
I tried to book them one time. They came through LA. I tried to book them, but I couldn't get the I couldn't get it together.
Oh, that's why. Maybe because I didn't want to have them on too.
They're the fucking best, dude. The Great Malenko is a top 10 album of all time.
You're a nuts person, dude. You're a nuts person, dude. You're not. Go on with what.
Okay, so basically, this is the nuts and bolts of the emotional instability and psychological instability of cops. Basically, every time a cop goes to work, from the minute he puts his uniform on till the time he takes it off at the end of the day, what's that usually? 10, 12 hours could be. Got to drive home, drive to work. That to me is the exact same thing as what they're going through on an emotional and psychological level is just like being a drug addict. So when you enter into a state of hypervigilance, hypervigilance is kind of like if you go home right now and your front door's kicked open and you're going to be freaked the fuck out. You're going to be like, holy shit. Imagine being in that state of mind for 8 to 10 hours straight.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, dude, you never know who you're pulling up on.
Right. So you exist in this kind of state, whether it's warranted or not, but that's a whole nother conversation. But you basically, you go up into this state of hypervigilance. And then when you get off work, you take your uniform off, you crash. Now, it takes for the body to recover from a state of hypervigilance, even a short, you know, 10, 15 minutes, something happens, it takes your body 16 to 24 hours to recover. But what do cops do virtually immediately from the time they get up in the morning, they go back to work? Usually from the time they get off to the time they go back is less than 12 hours. But it takes the body 16 to 24 hours to recuperate from that state of hypervigilance. So imagine what that does to a person over a period of weeks, months, 20-year career. You know what I mean? It burns you out on a physiological level. Heart disease, all kinds of stuff like that. And then it makes you a psychologically and emotionally unstable person. So really, if you've got more than a couple years on, you're fucking toast upstairs, whether you want to admit it or not. Now, the guy, it doesn't apply to everybody, but I would say 70, 80%, yes. I know a couple guys who basically things just bounce off of and they're kind of like,
they're dead on the inside.
Well, you know, they got things going on. They can't wait to get off work so they can go do things, right? There's those guys, very small percentage.
Bang strippers.
They wish they could bang strippers.
In Vegas, all the cops are just banging strippers. And the strippers are all banging cops. And they're humongous human beings. And let's not go crazy that, let's not forget that they don't drug test cops. When I say drugs, steroids. They're not checking for HGH, not checking for steroids. These guys are jacked, dude. I remember moving to LA and I was like, dude, they're all tiny Mexicans out here. They have like tiny Mexicans and tiny Asians as cops. Like I'm talking like 5'4", 5'3". I'm like,
yoked.
No, and in LA, they're all, in Vegas, they're all like Nebraska linebackers. They all look like they play college football in Nebraska. They're huge dudes. Out here, because you need so many cops, you got to take as many people as you can. And there's some tiny ass cops out here. So throw steroids onto that. Then a Napoleon complex.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's a cocktail for chaos.
So I want to go over just a couple specific points. I already mentioned like suicide is the number one cause of officer death because of the stresses of the job combined with their feelings of self-worth. And basically depression, isolation, withdrawal from society and loved ones, that can indicate problems in an officer's life. And this kind of happens very frequently.
They can't be normal people.
No, they can't.
So one time, an old friend of mine from high school showed up at one of my shows in La Jolla. And she brought a friend. We were all hanging out. We were all just kind of talking. And then about 2 hours into the conversation, she lets me know that her friend works for the DEA. I mean, the drug enforcement. I'm like, dude, you gotta let people know that right out the gate that they work for drug enforcement. Do you not know I like drugs, dude? Yep. You gotta let me know this early, dude.
They're trying to set you up.
Yeah, dude. You can't just, you know, so that's everywhere you go, like as a cop. People are always cop. Everybody, they're not the same person. They're quiet. Yep. They're guarded. All mm-hmm. that stuff. And psychologically, it has to be damaging.
Stop getting invited to parties.
That's a fact.
Yeah, you become a cop. No one's inviting your parties. They're not telling you, I got the plug. Yep. I got the hookup on this. You lose out all the cool homies.
Yeah.
And here, this is really important. Officers deny negative aspects of their jobs to justify continuing their careers.
What are some of the negative aspects?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you just beat the shit out of somebody for no reason who was innocent in the first place, and then you're just going to pat yourself on the back for it. I mean, I think that's some of those. I think that would qualify.
I think that cops are. Listen, man. Again, it's a hard job, but I think like cops pass the psychological exam where most bouncers can't, and that's why they have to be bouncers. But the ones who can pass it become cops. And my friend of mine from high school became a cock. He became a cop. And he eventually got kicked out because he's such a crazy person. Mm-hmm. But one time he basically said to me, we get paid to beat people up.
Yeah. There's really... I've never seen anybody do a use of force that a sergeant was like, hey, what's up with that? Never. Not once. Like, they don't ask questions. If you slam them, went to jail, you got a pat on the back. And that was kind of how it went.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with that, man. A lot of stuff going on. I mean, George Carlin has a great bit about, like, he hates cops. The one thing he respects about them is they don't rat each other out. And there's just code of silence where you don't question everything.
See, that's how it appears on the outside. But, man, I swear, there has to be an internal affairs quota, because you were always worried about who you were what you were saying to who, because people were ratting on each other like crazy. Like,
really?
At both agencies,
snitches?
The small and the big agency. Yeah, like the big agency I was at, their IAs, they were constantly in rotation. They had 50, 60 internal affairs investigations going on over little shit that you only get in trouble for if they want to get rid of you. You know what I mean? Like,
who ate Sarah's muffin? We got to do an investigation.
So, like, when people become cops, they are willing to change their worldview to accommodate the needs of the job, right? So you become much more cynical. And the example that they give is, like, Boy Scout leaders are now pedophiles, right? So, like, you kind of get this attitude, like, everybody sucks, the world sucks. And bullshit predominates. Almost everyone is morphed into an asshole. And so that starts off with just the cops against everyone else,
yeah,
right? But then when you kind of start to see how it really works behind the scenes and how people are ratting on each other and how everything is really just...
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you some stories later. But
don't say it on podcast when people want to hear it.
Definitely right? Not. Definitely
you,
not.
After we're done recording, you're going to tell us stories? That's the best time to, when you appear on a podcast. Dude, when we stop recording, I'm going to tell you some great stuff.
So basically, this constant state of hypervigilance, it warps your worldview, causes you to change who you are. And the definition given for hypervigilance is a worldview based on a threat-based, biologically driven perspective in which everyday events unfold as potentially dangerous to officers, right? Like, so that door opens to me and you, it's just a door opening. But to a cop, he needs to fucking go jump somebody because the door's opening, right?
Yeah, right. Well, it is. Dude, that's the whole thing. You just don't know who you're going to pull over. It's got to be – it's just chaos.
I've pulled thousands of traffic stops, and I've never had anyone try to shoot me. Those are the exceptions. Those are the exceptions, not the rule, right? So they teach you never know who you're pulling over. You never know who you're pulling over. You're pulling over some guy who wants to get home and not get jacked for $150
right, but
ticket,
you have
right?
to be kind of like – you have to approach it like you don't know what's in the car. It's
right,
got to be like women when they find out the guy they're hooking – how big the dick is, right? It's almost this moment of Christmas where they open up the thing. Like, is it a 12-inch monster or like a 2-inch fucking, you know, appetizer? What are you going in with?
Right. But imagine this. Imagine you go up and you and the person is just a normal Joe Schmo getting a ticket, whatever. You still keep him in that, you know, us against him mentality. And so therefore, you through the dehumanization, you can write him 50 tickets and not even care. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I stack tickets on people. I mean, hitting guy with $600 in tickets at one time. Hey, that was less tickets I had to write tomorrow. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
No, I get that. I get that. And it is a quota. And it makes me upset because when I go to traffic court, I look around and everybody's ugly. And I'm like, is this cop telling me I'm ugly? Because I never see good-looking people at traffic court, ever.
This is how the quota system works. You're definitely not allowed to have a quota, ever. However, our chief came to us and said, hey, I would really like for you guys to get, you know, 10, 15, just warnings. Don't have to be tickets. Just give them warnings per month. You know, that's not much. It's one every other day. It's not a whole lot, right?
Give who warnings?
The public. Okay. Just write them warnings instead of writing a ticket.
Yeah, civilians.
But if you didn't do those 15, guess who didn't get the day off they requested? Guess who didn't get the promotion
Hold
they
on.
Were looking
so,
for?
So, but how? But if you give a warning, do you write a ticket when you give a warning?
Yeah, you get a ticket. It says warning ticket.
Okay, and what do you have to do to fix a warning?
Nothing. You ain't got to do nothing. It's just a warning. It's just a written warning.
Or fix a ticket type
They
of
wanted
shit.
You to maintain contact with the public and let them know, hey, we're still here. Right. But yeah, if you did not do that, if you did not fall in line and write those 15 warnings a month, you got skipped over for that promotion. It got brought up in your next, you know, your annual review. Whatever it is, there's ways around the quota system, but there is absolutely 100% a quota no matter where you're going.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, we don't have a quota. Dude, you got a quota. We all know it.
You've seen the end of the month. You know how it starts looking.
Yeah,
everyone's
dude.
Getting pulled over, a bunch of cops everywhere.
Dude, you know that I'm like 16-3 in traffic court in L.A.? That's why everyone's like, oh, dude, it's racist. I got pulled over almost 20 times out here. I've won most of my cases. But they're definitely pulling people. I mean, dude, cops straight lying on the stand.
Yeah.
This guy lied about how he saw me. There's no way physically he could have seen me pull up this ramp.
And you think he could remember how many people does he pull over?
All of them.
Exactly. You think he's remember that exact moment if he saw you or not? He's just going to say, yeah, because they're going to believe him.
So, you know, I have a system to win your ticket, and that is to keep pushing off the ticket. Show up as much as you can, keep pushing off, push it off, push it off. But then at some point, L.A. was like, you guys got to show up to these fucking tickets now because we're defaulting on all this cash that could be coming
in.
Yeah,
and that didn't work with us. If we got a notification to go to traffic court and we didn't go, we'd get in trouble. So yeah. We kind of had to show up for court.
Yeah. I mean, 100, and it's just, it's like, it's a backdoor tax. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, they tried to pass a law that you had to have your dog in a seatbelt. There was a law trying to get passed that you had to have your dog in a seatbelt. I'm like, who's going to be able to put your dog in a seatbelt? Have you ever tried to tell your dog what to do in your car?
No, it's the worst.
They'll never sit there in a seatbelt.
Mexicans still put them in the trunk. You've seen that. How many people? You've seen, I know you don't, but you've seen Mexicans put them in the beds?
Oh, in the bed.
In the bed, yeah, in the bed. And they're just kind of chilling there.
In the trunk?
No, in the bed of the truck, truck.
Oh, in the truck.
It's so dangerous because if you slam your brakes, it literally just goes straight to the front and hits the window. They don't give a fuck.
Okay, so I want to touch on something real quick. While it seems like cops, when you're out with a cop, he has all the control in the world over you. In the very in the nature of the job and the career, you don't really have much control. If you say, hey, I want to be a detective, well, it isn't really up to you. You can get skipped over by a dozen mediocre guys, which is what happens in the real world. But that over a career, that lack of feeling of control, that like you go where the screen tells you to go, you enforce the law as the book says to, like you really don't have a whole lot of control in what you're doing and your career.
And your promotions, which is LA. I mean, like I feel bad for these actors, man. It's just like now that I do this podcast, another podcast, and I tore off my stuff. That to me is freedom. These poor actors, man, they're allowing fucking gatekeepers to decide who gets the gig and who doesn't get the gig. And they're all giving it to their friends. It's all trust fund kids and private school kids. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Did you kick out the thing again?
Nobody kicked it out.
It's constantly been kicked out.
No.
Under the table, there's a power thing.
It's still recording though, right?
Still recording.
Are you still recording?
Yeah, of course.
Huh?
All right.
Okay.
You know? So it's got to be really hard when you don't have a say in what you're doing.
So where is the one area with police that they are in total control when they're out with the individual call, when they're out with the citizen, when they're out with you or whoever else? That is where they can be as big a dick as they want. They're the boss. And they generally don't have to worry about consequences, right? So the lack of control.
Power play.
Total power play.
Because that's why homeless people take forever to cross streets. This one moment they have all the power.
Yes, you're kind of right with that. So that's why you'll see these cops just be complete dicks and treat you like you're subhuman, because that is the one area of their life that they do have control over, you know?
That's why they like sir, a lot of sir, yes sir, no sir. I actually did a joke about that. I got handed a $300 ticket from a cop, and I was like, thank you, sir. I'm like, how dumb was that to say thank you after getting a $300 ticket? That's like saying thank you after getting prison raped in jail, you know? And it doesn't make sense now, but that was about a Tool song.
So in reference to that feeling of lack of control, I want to shift this kind of to the rise in police being arrested, all right? So back in 2005... there was only about 400 and change cops arrested that year. Now we're seeing anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 cops per year being arrested. And what are they being arrested for? They're being arrested for mainly domestic violence, trying to exert that control at home. They're not getting it, so they beat their wives.
And they're on roids.
And number two are sex crimes. Between 05 and 14, in 9 years, cops were arrested for 400 rapes in 9 years. That comes back to, you know, you're getting rejected. I'm the dominant one. I'm entitled, right? This feeling of having no control over your career when your career is your whole life gives you this feeling of I'm entitled to do it.
But
right?
Raping, like, people they arrest or just?
No, just in general.
In general. Okay.
Well, you know, who was the one serial killer that would pretend he was a cop and he would tell people to pull over in here, and that's where he would get his women.
Was that Bundy? Was that Ted Bundy?
No, that wasn't Bundy. Who was that, Aaron? Thank you.
Golden State Killer was a cop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Golden State Killer was a cop, too, man.
Yeah, that's what, who it was.
But, yeah, it's and their victims, 61% of the time, of police violence are against women.
I mean, that's a lot of power you have over a girl. And, like, women cry to get out of tickets all the time, right? No, am I wrong?
It'd be my go-to move. That or my tits.
Yeah.
That or the tits,
crying or
right?
tits. That's it.
Very disappointing. Being a cop only got me laid like once or twice.
That's
like,
it. Nobody really wanted to bang you during the office while you were working?
Oh, no. I had one. I picked this chick up on a, what was it, when you're drunk? Oh, Marchman. Call it a Marchman act, right? And she offered me the booty for letting her go. She's like, I'll give up my ass, and I don't give that to anybody. And I was like,
did you take it?
No, I didn't take it.
You thought about it.
No, because at the time, you're so invested in that job that nothing else matters.
I'm telling you.
I would be the bad lieutenant. I wouldn't even. I'd be doing drugs. I'd be banging everybody.
What a great movie that was.
Yeah.
Show me, okay.
Here's something I do believe. You ever take the drugs and not report them and keep them or sell them?
No,
I never did. And honestly, like, I quit smoking weed for like a decade for that piece of shit job. Like, what?
How long were you
fucking
a cop?
Dude, I was a cop for a long time.
Like, how? What's a long time?
I got in 2005 in the summer, and I left early 2014. So about 9 years.
That is a long time. Where were you a cop?
Florida.
Where in Florida?
I don't want to say because I got a lot of dirt that I'm going to end up dropping, and I'm going to do a
but
show
not on
sometimes.
This podcast.
Not this one. Me and XG been talking about doing a show, or I'm going to launch a show on cops, or we're going to do something, and I got plenty of dirt that I'm going to have to drop on some people, and I don't feel like anybody getting canned anytime soon. So
if you see a suicide, you know what that means.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, they commit suicides very high up. Cops end up killing themselves more than people kill cops.
Yes. By far, 37% of all police deaths are because of suicide. And that has directly comes down to your identity and you're linking who you are as a person with that career, which is the biggest crock of bullshit ever.
But even when they do commit a crime or they get in trouble, don't they just get paid leave? Ain't that the worst case scenario that happens? Paid leave, which doesn't even sound that bad.
No.
But to them, I get what you're coming from, where that's when you tell me like they're not part of the team no more.
Right.
When they commit suicide.
Correct. It's when you feel like your identity is being stripped from you and all the things that you prided yourself on were really not yours in the first place. They were because of this career. But here's the thing. They cover for all these murders because they'll jam everyone up for everything else. You know, if you fucking get drunk and go out and cause some problems, you're getting in trouble at work. You're getting in trouble at work for goddamn everything. You're getting in trouble at work for not putting two staples in the paperwork. And you know what I mean? Like, they're jamming you up. Like, cops get jammed up like crazy. But this murder shit, they have to cover themselves up because if they admit that this
lawsuits.
One's, if they admit that this one's bad.
Yeah.
That, hey, these bad. 50 that were the exact same were bad,
dude,
too.
That's the whole reason why Stephen Avery's still in jail and his nephew's still in jail.
Dude, that's a crazy case. I've gone over that one head to toe, and I don't know what the fuck happened there.
Well, I know that his nephew didn't do anything.
Correct.
And they coerced that motherfucker into saying it. And anybody that doesn't see that doesn't want to admit that someone's doing a lot of time for something they didn't do. You can say whatever you want about Stephen Avery. Mm-hmm. His nephew is very slow and just wanted to go to fucking WrestleMania.
See, people in the system, including district attorneys, they go through a dehumanization process as well. So to them, that's not a person sitting in jail for a crime they didn't commit. That is just another statistic.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got a real problem with district attorneys' records being more important than the actual, like, who's guilty, who's not guilty. And we've seen that because there's no real repercussions for prosecuting somebody that didn't do it, even if you knew they didn't do it.
Yeah. Guilt or innocence and justice has nothing to do with police work. Like, that's a myth. Like, they don't give a shit
about district attorney stuff, too. I mean, we've seen over and over again where they focus on a certain person, and they won't stop until they get. It's almost what happened with the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You know, it was like they were all getting this intel that wasn't there, and Dick Cheney was like, "Go find it." He didn't want the intel if it didn't tell him that there weren't weapons of mass destruction. It wasn't a failure. It was a failure. It was a failure because they didn't find what he wanted. That's what it was. It was a success in that they finally drummed it up and made it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was a big bunch of lies.
Yeah. So this is what's going on in our court system, that, you know, these privatized prisons have to be filled. So you have to find somebody guilty of something, and you just happen to be in the wrong place at the right time.
And all these guys who become state attorneys, who want to become, or district attorneys or associate district attorneys, they want to climb that ladder and they want to get that money. And because they want to go on the prosecution side for a long time, get the experience, and then they can flip to the defense and charge people, you know, $300 an hour. Like, yeah. that's the whole business model of attorneys in general. I mean, they're all scum. Attorneys are scumbags. I don't appreciate lawyers in the least bit. All they do is they obfuscate fact or truth to make, you know, A or B correct.
The plea bargain's fucked up.
Okay, that's another thing we're going to talk about real quick, the plea bargain. In all my years of being a cop, you know how many trials I actually testified at?
How many?
Maybe 4, 5.
There's no point.
And I made hundreds of arrests every freaking year.
You take the plea bargain every fucking time because it's not worth it.
Right?
It's not worth it. It's literally like when you get a DUI, it's literally do the classes, do this, do that, which is kind of bullshit. But if you want to fight it and you lose, you're going to get 5 years.
Right, but they...
It's so stupid. Why would you even fight it? Like, correct, it's not even worth it.
Because half of those cases, they're bluffing and they don't have a fucking case. And so they're trying to push you to take a deal. And so they'll never have to reveal they really didn't have a case in the first place. Like, I love case review. Like, I can read any fucking police report and just tell you exactly what you got, who's trying to fuck you, what you should do, like, all that stuff. I love going over police reports because that's really the meat and potatoes. If it didn't happen, if it's not in a police report, it didn't happen. That's what they always used to say. But I go through so many police reports that I pull off the internet and look for different cases, and they're all written by guys with, like, a fucking third grade education. Like, I should have been a fucking lawyer. I should have been one of those scumbags. Because,
yeah.
Because, like, I'm telling you, man, I can go through any
case. You can represent all the gigolos.
Juggalos. Get it right. But no, I can go over cases, and I can look over a case, and I can tell you exactly what happened for real. Like, I can say what the cop wrote, but then I can be like, okay, he wrote this because he's bullshit.
So you're saying, like, if I bring you a report, you'd be like, fight it or don't fight it? They're pretty...
Well, I can't give legal advice, but I can point out all the bullshit in case. Yeah, I did it for a friend of mine recently. I had a friend who's they're trying to force a fucking domestic case on his girl, and like it's just a total crock of bullshit. And I went over the whole fucking report, and I'm like, dude, they don't have a case at all. Like, don't take a deal. You're getting fucked if you take this deal. Like, don't take a deal. They don't have a case. This will never hold up in a court.
It's unbelievable how they have no problem sending innocent people to jail, yeah. And they don't even think twice about it.
It's the dehumanization, and it's the statistics for their own self, whatever. You know, feelings of self-worth and getting a raise.
Is there any way to fix it now that you've been in the system?
No, my ultimate plan is to make $1 million and dip to fucking Thailand.
A million? Where are you going to live off $1 million?
I'm going to live in Thailand in a $100 a month apartment with fucking $5 a night hookers. So
you went from a cop to just look at that. Thailand and fucking hookers.
When you leave police work, you revert back to who you were before, right? I jumped through a lot of hoops to become a different person to be able to do that job.
I used to know Border Patrol agent, like right when he started leaving, face tattoos, whole sleeve blasted, and it was like, it's weird, like you were Border Patrol agent. He's like, dude, I just can't wait to leave. And then he literally, like a month before, he got his hands blasted, and they kind of wanted to fire him, but he's like, I'm about to retire. Go ahead and fucking fire me. Like, it's pointless. But like you said, go back to who they are.
We're fucked in this. This country's toast. This country was stolen from us on November 22nd, 1963. Okay. It's been downhill ever fucking since.
And it has.
There is no fixing it. And so I'm going to make a bunch of money, and I'm going to get the fuck out and go to some country where I can actually give a cop $10 and he'll leave me alone.
You want that?
I mean, that's what I want.
Yeah, so right down the street in Mexico. In Mexico, they're still doing that, dog.
That's his game plan. Bribe fucking dudes who bribe cops who. I fucked that joke.
Now that you brought that up, were you ever bribed? Did you ever take a bribe?
No.
Did you ever think about it? Was
Someone
anyone worth it? They try to bribe you. Come on.
Well, the ass was.
Oh yeah, but no money.
Cute too.
No one ever had the balls
to
say it.
Scummy. I like him a little scummy.
Yeah, I do too. I do
trashy,
too.
Like she got fired from the strip
club
kind of thing.
I like him too. Yeah.
But no, I mean, my long term plan is get the fuck out of here within the next 10 years.
Oh, dude. By the way, I have a date. I want to get out by. I want to be out of LA by 2029, because that's when they say the asteroid's going to hit. Have you seen that?
Oh, my God. I got a shirt that says Giant Meteor 2020.
Yeah.
Like, just ended already. My favorite shirt in the world. That's like that's what we need. We're so fucking far gone as a
species.
Look
at that. It's like you put just do 2029 ass, and it comes, boom. Right? It's coming. They call it the God of Chaos. Oh, that should be the name of my next album.
Hey, we only got a couple minutes left, and I want to do some I want to do some shilling
real
quick.
Show?
No, I want to do some
show?
I want to do some shilling real quick, some important shilling. So, I always got my hand in like 20 projects. But
I got something I don't want to end this conversation now.
All
right,
man.
Okay,
we got
11 more minutes, dude. I want to get into the shootings that happened.
Yeah.
Which became this giant thing, which have you noticed you haven't seen shootings anymore in the news anymore? I mean, like, people really got to understand. There's a reason they call television programming, not scheduling. They are programming you to find out what to get angry on and what not to get angry on, okay? Like blackface. Blackface, they tell you, is the worst thing ever, and it represents an ugly time. But yet they have no problems with you celebrating Thanksgiving, celebrating St. Paddy's Day.
Cinco de Mayo.
Which are all associated with ethnic cleansing.
Yep.
Okay? It's like, get mad at this, don't get mad at that. So I remember when the Trump and... they should do a story going back to Hillary versus Trump and how chaotic the world was during that election. It still is. It's a continuation of it. All hell was breaking loose. And when you look back at it, you remember like black ex-military guys were killing cops left and right? You remember that? Like there was like, not left and right, I take it back. But 2 weeks in a row where two huge number of cops were killed by the same guy, ex-military, black ex-military.
Yes,
and then they blew them up with
Christopher Donner. That was him, right?
That was one, but there was also a guy in Dallas and a guy, I believe, in New Orleans.
Dallas and there was the guy. Yeah, I know. There was two different cases. Yeah, yeah. Exactly what you're talking
about. And they all were the exact same thing. Ex-military that took out cops who got blown to smithereens by a bomb detonating robot.
Yeah, the bomb detonating robot. Let's just bypass all fucking police procedure. Let's just bypass all kinds of due process and let's just go blow a guy up.
Yeah,
like that didn't meet. That didn't fit anywhere on the use of force matrix that we looked at.
And so once Trump gets elected, now all that shit's gone. It's like, when do you hear about, like, to the we obviously there's cases, but to the level of national outrage, where is that?
There's no outrage because we're fucking couch potatoes, man.
We're a country that is suffering from Stockholm syndrome. So when that whole thing came out, people started looking into the statistics of cops and killings, and they found that there were none. There was no national center that collected all the info of how many people were killed by cops. Just like there's this whole thing I'm trying to do a story on, I can't get anyone to come in, about, you know, all the Native American women that are disappearing from reservations. There's no numbers on that.
I'll find you somebody for that show.
You know?
So basically, when it comes to, like, let's look at it from another perspective. We've got cops killing 1,300 to 1,500 people a year. That's probably close to realistic numbers. Now, how many cops are being killed every year by felonious means, by, you know, assault or by being shot?
Yeah.
If you had to take a guess, how many would you
I'd say 11,500. No, I mean 1,100. I feel like I'm playing The Price is Right, right. Showdown. I can't go over. $1. I'm going to say $1.
Okay. So on average, only between 50 and 60 cops a year are killed because of crime, felonious means. You know, duty-related illness, 4. 9/11-related illness is killing 15 cops a year these days, which is
really
kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't want to talk about that.
Accident 1, assault 3, automobile crash 25. Okay, cops drive like shit.
Yeah.
And then they lump those car crash deaths in with the real numbers. But the reality is they're murdering 1,500 people to protect, what, 50 or 60. That's kind of like the idea.
Well, they act like cops are getting clipped left and right.
Right, they're not. When Dallas happened, I got some popcorn. I thought it was a great day.
Jesus Christ.
Shit.
I'm sorry. I'm vehemently anti-police because they're fucking the modern day SS. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I wish nobody harm. And I mean, like, I got in trouble for saying the churches should burn, and people got mad at me. I go, so you're upset that I'm saying that the place where they fuck kids
burned down
should be burned down? Is that what you're telling me? You think burning a church is worse than fucking kids? You know?
Right. But overall, like, the police deaths when you look at it, it's automobile crashes, it's heart attacks, training accidents. I mean, it's things that can be prevented because of the cop's own behavior. You know what I mean? So if you have a total of 150 cops dying in a year, you've got a third of them being killed with guns or feloniously. The rest of them are really, they're not numbers that should be included in these statistics because there's nobody out there trying to get them.
Yeah, but there was, for the long time, there was no national consensus on how many people were getting killed. There's nowhere you could go look up the numbers because they were covering that up. They didn't want anyone to know how many people were getting killed by cops.
Yes, and out of that 1,300 to 1,500 number, I have a feeling it's a lot higher. But at the same time, let me say this. It's probably the golden age of police work. I mean, if you think it was worse before, no way. Go back to the 30s. Go back to when the mob was running things. Go back to the 1960s or the 1970s. The numbers were probably through the freaking roof. But back then, the cops would kill you, and then they'd roll your body into a ditch, and it would just be another number. You know what I mean? Nowadays, they at least – there's some kind of an effort to track, right? So cops are probably the least dicks they've ever been in the history of police work.
I know.
But it's still not good enough. It's not even fucking close to good enough.
So how do you fix it all?
Okay. So there are proven solutions. I'm going to go over a couple of them right now. So require officers to use all other means before shooting. That's one. Right? Don't just go right for the gun. Require all use of force be reported. Believe it or not, there are some places you can jack people up and not have to do a use of force
reporting. Of course. Of course, dude.
That was shocking to me because at the first agency I worked for, I had like a 4-page fucking thing I had to fill out. It was crazy. All right. Let me see. Ban chokeholds and strangleholds. Like, that should be fucking common sense, right? Like, look at the Eric Garner killing up in New York. The guy who was killed for selling loose cigarettes. Yeah. He wasn't doing anything. He was on the chart. He was demonstrating basically like a passive resistance, right? Like he was just not letting them handcuff him. He wasn't fighting or anything like that. So the guy comes up behind him, chokes him.
Yeah, I said that, man. I'm just amazed how many people were like okay with how that guy died. They're like, hey, dude, he's resisting arrest. He's a bad guy. It's like, dude, he was selling cigarettes. That's what he. That's the crime he was committing that escalated to death. It's like
see, it's not about the crime. It's about the domination. It's about you're not going to do that because I have a personal connection to this law,
you know,
even though it's got nothing to do with
that
me.
Is when that kid, there was actually a video of the kid where the cop, I think he'd flashed him or something like that. They had high beams on, and the cop took it personal.
Exactly.
And he goes, a lot of people have been doing that, thought my high beams were on. They were not.
And he fucking murdered that kid.
He murdered that kid because he didn't want to get out of the car because the kid was freaking out.
The kid ends up getting out of the car, laying on the ground, but he wouldn't let go of the cell phone. And so he fucking shot him. That guy is a piece of shit human being, waste of fucking flesh. Yes. That guy needs to be on death row. And I'm against the death penalty. But cops who commit murders need to go right to fucking death row.
Here's my thing, man. Unions protect everybody, right? That's what their job is. But, you know, this is my theory on feminism. The biggest problem I have with feminism, and I believe in feminism, even though it was started by the CIA, that's a whole different show, is that they never admit when women are crazy. They won't admit it. I'm like, you got to admit when somebody is wrong. You can't have this golden rule all the time that women are always right and always the victim and men are always oppressive and always the wrong. It's just, there are crazy chicks out there.
But they're all crazy, but you got to do what you got to do to get laid, so.
Well, I mean, like, dude. But the point is, it's like, teachers, man, like teachers. Like, everybody wants to be like, teachers, the fucking blah, blah, blah. First of all, you're not paying anything, but you got to be able to get rid of bad teachers. And teaching isn't the problem today. It's the two parents don't have enough time to raise their kids. That's being done systematically.
Yes, I'm right there with you on that one.
That is being done purposefully so these kids are crazy people, so they're more likely to go to jail, okay? But you got to be able to admit when somebody is wrong, when they've done something wrong. You have to be able to admit it. And, like, I don't see that sometimes with these cop unions, man.
The role of the police union is to cover the back of the cop no matter what he does because they have that, like, law enforcement image that they have to maintain. But when you have guys outright murdering people, like here, this Amber Geiger one where she went in the wrong apartment and murdered the guy.
Yeah.
Like, she lied her fucking ass off. All the facts haven't even come out, but once the information started to come out, it turns out that she had a key that could get her into any apartment. So she goes to enter her apartment with her key. It didn't open. So what'd she do? She probably used the master key to get in there. She walks in as a black guy. She shoots him, and then it's like, oh my God, I'm not in the right place. But I'll tell you what, I've worked more than my fair share of 12 to 16-hour days. Never did I go to the fucking neighbor's house thinking it was mine.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Like, you know your furniture instantly. Like, you're fucking mad. Just the way shit is.
Yeah, like, that is the biggest crock of bullshit. She's lying through her fucking teeth, and she needs to go to jail for the rest of her fucking life.
She does need to go to jail.
But she's not going to, because she's a cute little white girl from whatever fucking hillbilly city she's in.
That's another thing is, dude, there's some little girl cops where it's like,
yeah, but if you fucking fuck with them, then the fucking steroid guys will come.
No, see, but what I mean is when you have them and they get scared instantly, their first instinct is to pull out a gun.
100%.
If it's a guy on roids, he's like, I can fuck this guy up. Let's do it. But if it's a female and she's scared, she's instantly going to pull out a gun.
Political correctness goes too far. That's when reality and political correctness don't match. It's like this notion with trans women should be allowed to compete against biological women. And hey, dude, I'm all good. Hey, dude, you want to have an argument? Men are better female athletes than females.
Well, you want to know how that's true? There was that bodybuilder that identifies himself as a female
he's
now.
Now he's
reckoning. Imagine having a daughter and she's been working her whole life to be a bodybuilder. And this guy comes and beats a world record. That's fucked up.
That is when political correctness, which has been shoved down her throat, has gone too far. Yep. And I'm just waiting for women to call us in to solve everything. Okay? Whenever you want us to fix this, let us know. We'll show up and we'll fucking right the wrongs, get rid of the boogeyman. But if you keep busting our balls all the time, we're not going to fucking do shit and you're never winning a gold medal again because my buddy Larry in a wig and high heels is going to fucking wreck shop.
Yep.
I mean, dude, look at where we're at, dude. You remember Joanna Man?
You can't make that movie anymore.
That movie is literally going on right now.
You know what's fucked up, man? Now I feel guilty when I watch porn from the 70s when they're all slapping chicks around and shit. It's like, goddamn, they're ruining everything.
Dude, look at fucking, like, BDSM, dude. That is huge.
But they're like into that, right?
Yeah, but it's like a really weird thing that nobody ever talks about, how everybody is into that stuff. Like, there's so many women I know love BDSM.
And what brought it up? What was that one book?
No, I'll tell you. Well, 50
Shades
of
Grey. Oh, that fucking book.
Yeah, that fucking book.
I think it goes
what a shitty movie that was. My girl made me watch it back in the day.
Dana's mom went to tie her up after? There's rules to BDSM, which is like some weird shit. But
dude, I like just getting a hug and my dick sucked, and I'm good. Like, fuck all this whips and shit.
That's too much work, man. God made it fucking easy. You just hit it. It's too much. So I think that the key to this, and we're wrapping up, is accountability.
Accountability, 100%, and there is none. There is none because we have the system in place.
And lawyers. Lawyers have made it. I mean, dude, that's the whole reason why Stephen Avery isn't going to get
but
out.
But then you have the media also. The media sides with cops 100% of the time, even when they're wrong. They'll be like, oh, it looks like he shouldn't have done that. But then they'll just, you know, keep fluffing them on every other thing.
Well, because they all work for the same people, the lizard people.
They all work for the lizard people.
The lizard fucking people, man. Corey, it was a pleasure to have you on. It was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this a lot. These two episodes this week have been a lot of screaming. I hope you guys enjoyed them. Corey, you're great. I appreciate all the hard work you put into the show. And we'll see you guys next week, all right? Foil, 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 foil